The 1% sales tax could be left up to voters in October, and the Dungeness crab season is off to a healthy start. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. A 1% sales tax that took effect in Haines decades ago is being questioned by local fishermen. The issue was taken up by the Finance Committee last week and will go to the Assembly in the near future. As a result, the question of whether to repeal the tax, which goes toward tourism and economic development, could end up on the October ballot. J.R. Churchill brought the question to light at an Assembly meeting a few weeks ago. He says the tax has been around for too long and needs to be revisited by Haines voters.
Had I have known that this was going to be for the rest of my life, I would not have voted for it.
The 1% tax was voted into effect in 1985 to help the borough pay off a legal settlement. That proposition passed 230 to 207 with the addition that once the lawsuit was paid off, the tax would then go to tourism. 2 years later, Haines voters decided again to keep the 1% for tourism. In 2001, voters decided that the tax money should go toward tourism and economic development. And in 2005, voters elected to have that tax be implemented borough-wide. Churchill says the initiative should have had a sunset clause or end date attached to it.
What a sunset clause would have done was it would have given the tourist industry fair warning. In 3 years, 4 years, whatever that time frame may have been, 6 years, this is going to end. This tax is going to go away. They would have started brainstorming real hard on how do we go about this? How do we alternately fund this? But that's not what happened. Now, it's like a drug. Free money, tougher to break than crack cocaine.
The tax is expected to bring in more than $500,000 this fiscal year. Churchill was one of several fishermen that spoke out against the tax at last week's Finance Committee meeting. He says he doesn't agree with public money going to help fund private industry. And if it does, where's the share for the commercial fleet?
You can only be kicked around so long before you get a little ticked. And we're well past that point. We really are. This isn't an incentive. We're not incentivizing tourism. We're subsidizing tourism. And we're doing it with tax dollars.
But there were plenty on hand that think the tax should stay right where it is. They say that money benefits the whole town. Leslie Ross is the director of tourism for the borough. She says the money from that tax goes to a lot more than just tourism marketing, and it goes far.
The 1% I don't believe is a handout to tourism. I believe it's an investment. For one, it's paying for a department. It's not just paying for the tourism department, it's going into economic development. I will agree strongly that I think there can be a better utilization of the monies that are going into economic development. And I don't think that was specified. This whole thing doesn't go into tourism.
Several tour operators and other tourism stakeholders spoke for the tax. Longtime resident Don Turner owns Turner Construction. He says the 1% helps Haines in ways people might not realize.
You know, the community as a whole benefits from the 1% stuff. I know that construction does, and the stores, and everything else. So I am not advocating to do away with the sales tax.
Chamber of Commerce Board President Kyle Gray told the group that there's a ripple effect when it comes to money spent by tourists. He says that money going into economic development is vital to Haines.
If we want to have another conversation perhaps later about different ways that we can use the 1% that we collect and different ways that we can spend on economic development, that would be something we'd be very interested in having. But at this point, we just would like to support keeping the 1%.
Both sides made points for and against the tax, and in the end, the Finance Committee, which on Tuesday included Tresham Gregg, Diana Lapham, and Ron Jackson, voted 2-1 in favor of sending the tax repeal idea to the Assembly. Gregg was opposed. The Assembly has a quick turnaround on the issue, as it needs to pass by its August 23rd meeting to get on the ballot for voters. That means it has to be introduced at an Assembly meeting this month. Churchill maintains that he just wants to see the idea of repealing the tax go to the voters. And he says from there, we'll, quote, let the chips fall where they may. Commercial Dungeness crabbers have a full 2-month summer and 2-month fall season for most of Southeast again this year. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced last week that the summer season would continue through August 15th, and the fall season is planned for October and November. The season length is set based on the catch from the first week of fishing. Crabbing opened on June 15th. Adam Mesmer is the department's shellfish assistant manager for Southeast. He says the total season catch is projected to wind up at 2.89 million pounds. And he says the quality of the catch so far is impressive.
There was a lot of people saying that there was really hard crab, full crab, you know, not a lot of soft shell around. which is kind of an odd thing for this time of year. Usually there's at least a reasonable percentage of soft shell, but sounds like really good, high-quality crab.
Soft shell crab contains less meat and commands a lower price. The projected total catch is above the 2.25 million pound threshold in state regulation, allowing for a full season. Last year's harvest in both summer and fall seasons totaled 3.25 million pounds. Mesmer says crabbing in some of the southern southeast got off to a slow start in the first week.
You know, we had some extreme tides right after the season opened, which could have been part of it. And these mild winters have kind of thrown the molting timing into kind of a loop, which can also have some effects on the fishery. But, you know, it's all kind of anecdotal without having a Dungeness survey or, you know, a good stock assessment on the ground.
The catch in the first week of crabbing was 700,000 pounds, down from last year's opening week. The number of permit holders out crabbing is also down slightly from last year, despite a strong price. The season began with processors paying an average of $3.05 a pound, just above the average from last year's summer season. Sea Alaska's newest board member says he'll continue to push for election and management changes. And at least some of the Juneau-based regional Native corporations governing body say they're willing to listen. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Juneau's Mick Beasley has spent years as an outsider criticizing Sea Alaska's leaders and business practices. Now, he's an insider, one of four candidates who won board seats in this year's shareholders election. So, what's next?
Got to learn to get along. Hopefully introduce a little bit of a different mindset.
Beasley, a journeyman carver, won his seat by coming in fourth behind three incumbents who ran as the board slate. The top vote-getter was Juneau's Jody Mitchell, who's been on the board since 2006. She's CEO of the Inside Passage Electric Cooperative, which provides power to several small southeast communities. Mitchell, the board's new vice chairwoman, says Beasley will find other board members have similar values.
I look forward to welcoming him into the fold and hearing his ideas about how we can make a better company.
Beasley has authored several measures in the past calling for board term limits, including a resolution on this year's ballot. It won the majority of votes cast, but not a majority of those that could have been cast. That's the standard for a policy change. He's also campaigned against discretionary voting. That's where shareholders turn their ballot decisions over to the board, which helps keep incumbents in office. He says next time he'll try a different approach.
I would like to introduce a measure to reduce the board members from 13 to 9. I think that it's just too expensive and too chaotic having a large board.
Mitchell says she's not ready to address that proposal, but she points to the failure of past term limits and discretionary voting measures.
Shareholders have addressed these issues on numerous occasions, and they haven't passed. However, I do think that the board is very interested in reviewing our governance practices and, you know, in succession planning. And so I expect that there might be changes coming. The board is the one who will decide, and you know, that's a group of people who, you know, you can't predict.
This year, the terms limits measure did get the majority of ballots cast, although certainly not the majority needed to make the change happen. Just from your perspective, is there a sense that there's growing interest among shareholders for some approach to term limits?
Yes, I think that's pretty obvious.
Board election results were made public during Sea Alaska's annual meeting, June 25th in Ketchikan. Also winning re-election were Tlingit and Haida Business Corporation CEO Richard Reinhart and National Congress of American Indians Executive Director Jackie Johnson-Peta. Five other independent candidates also ran for board seats. At the Ketchikan meeting, Sea Alaska CEO Anthony Malott said the corporation would continue to invest in businesses in southeast Alaska and the Pacific Northwest. That's where most of Sea Alaska's approximately 22,000 shareholders live. Mitchell says a recent Seattle business purchase, announced in May, is a step in the right direction.
I'm really excited about our new investment in IPC, the seafood packaging company, but you know, I do know that we have a lot more work to do to grow shareholder jobs and to bring more meaningful benefits to our shareholders.
Sea Alaska Chief Operating Officer Terry Downs has said the purchase created a partnership that will deliver profits while giving the corporation a voice in management decisions. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Ed Schoenfeld.
For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories anytime on our website at khns.org.